find, for example, two other words you use. One of them is yama, right? Yama, to the, which means literally to the sea. Again, this the geographical reasons, because what is to the west of Eretz Israel? It's the Yama Tifon, the Mediterranean, okay? So that's the reason why they use that word. And then they sometimes use the word Achor to refer to the west, which means literally the back. Why? Because again, as I said, if you face forward towards the east, then your Achor
is north.
To the west, right, okay. Yeah. But for north, I don't know of any other word at the moment other than the word Tzafon.
Almost like in this kind of war. You refer to the south, the southern states
right.
The south.
Yeah.
You refer to the western states as the west, and
right,
so on.
Right, this is exactly what it is. All right. Now, getting back to what I wanted to say. In general, we have a principle that we do not change the words that have already been formulated by our ancestors when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei. So, although we'll see that there are, later on we'll learn that there are times when you can add your own prayer in the middle of certain parts of the Shemoneh Esrei. For example, if we have, you know, one of the Siddurim, you know that when it comes to Rifa'enu, right, so you're permitted to say a word, you know, to add a little prayer on behalf of the sick. When it comes to Shema Kalin, you have even greater latitude to include whatever you would like to in the middle of the prayers. Okay?
Use that primarily on fast days.
Yeah, right, we do it on fast days, but there's also, for example, some people would add a prayer for Panosa. Some people would take upon themselves the obligation to observe a fast at that particular time. But let's say, for example, at this time of the year, you forgot to say Talamata. Okay? Can you make it up without having to repeat it? Yes. In Shema Kalini, you can add it.
Where would you add it?
I don't know that.
And here you put in whatever prayer you want, and then you say, Kiyato Shemet Filas Al Kasil Brahman. See? So you're permitted to do it over there. You won't find that in the prayer book. But
no, but they must know where.
Yeah.
Well, I know where it's added, but I wasn't aware
they come Alta Shevenu. The answer is for after Alta Shevenu,
then you know,
before you say Kiyato Shemeya, then you could add. Yeah, so you could do it at that particular point.
Or
if you forgot to do it, then
for
the
next.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can put it in private prayer. Now, at the same time, many of our great rabbis, and this is what we're going to see right now, wanted to say their own private prayers in addition to the prayers that we recite as members of Klal Yisrael. Okay? And so this is what we're going to have for the next page or so. And since we quoted last Rabbi Elazar, so we start with his private prayer. Okay? And this is where we start. Rabbi Elazar, the Tsar, the Messiah, Slusei, when he finished his Shemoneh Esrei, then he would say the following prayer. Omar, he said, Hochi, as follows. Yehi ratzo milfonecho ad Hashem lekeinu, may it be thy will, O Lord our God, shetashkein b'furenu ahavo v'yachvo v'shalom v'reyus, that you may cause to dwell b'furenu. The question is, what does it mean b'furenu? One possible explanation would be within our homes. But Rashi takes it in the sense of Purim. I mean, why does a holiday called Purim? Because Pur hu hagoro, right?
It's the lot.
Right, it's the lot. So, may it be thy will, O Lord our God, that our lot may be that we have ahava v'yachva, right? Love and brotherhood, the shalom v'reus, and peace and friendship.
Beautiful prayer.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Of course, the expression Ahavah v'yachav v'shalom v'reyus, does it strike any familiar chord in your mind? Right. The last bracha that we recite, you know.
I'm at the wedding recently.
Yeah, right. But so you can see that, you know, the bracha, which incidentally, the bracha is found in the Gemara Ksuvis, that's where they have the brachas, right, the Erisin and the Kedushin and so on, that's where you find it over there. But the phrase, you see, has its refrain here and there and so on. Okay. What else did he pray for? He says, Besarbeg v'leinu b'salmidim, and may you increase our boundaries with students, meaning that may we have many, many more students. V'satzniach sofeinu, achris v'sikva, and may you cause our end, in other words, our destiny, to be successful, achris v'sikva, with hope and aspirations. V'sosim chelkenu v'gan Eden, and may you grant us our portion in Gan Eden. V'saknenu, and may you also ordain for us b'chover tov, a good friend, the yetzer tov, and
good,
the good intention. You know, the impulse, right, to do what is right, b'olam echo, in your world. V'nashkim, and may we wake up early, v'nimso, may we find yichul ilvodenu, the aspirations of our heart, or the hope of our hearts, liyira eshemecho, that we should fear your name, v'savod eponecho koras namshenu tovah. And may our joy, koras nafshen, koras nefesh means joy, contentment, happiness, bliss, whatever you want to call it. All right? So may our joy in life be letova, be fulfilled for good. So, Rabbi Yochanan, boss of the Messiah, who say, and how about Rabbi Yochanan, if you finish Shemin Esra, Omar Hochi, this is what he said. Yehi ratzon milponecho, may it be thy will, ad Hashem lekenu, she totzitz bivoshtenu, that you should look upon our shame, v'sabit b'ra'asenu, and you should look upon the evil that we do, v'sislabesh b'rachamecha, and then you should clothe yourself in mercy, v'siskase b'uzecha, and at the same time cover yourself in your might, v'sisate b'chasidecha, and may you wrap yourself around in your chasidus, in other words, in your loving kindness. This is Azer Bechaninusecho, and may you gird yourself in your mercy for us. V'savo lefonecho midas tuvecho v'yamunusecho, and may the quality, you know, the attribute of your goodness and also your anvesonus, very interesting, your modesty come before you. In other words, may you exert on our behalf, you know, your quality of mercy
and modesty.
And modesty, right. The fact, I mean, that Rabbeinu Shel Olam is modest, well, we learn this from two things, right? One factor is the fact that we are bidden. How can we walk in God's ways? The answer is by trying to emulate his qualities. And so therefore, one of the good qualities that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants from us is that we should be humble, modest, right? So therefore, it shows that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam too is the source of this particular quality. But we have also a reference in the Gemara Megillah which speaks about Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that b'chol mokim shekosuv gvoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shom kosuv amesonus. Wherever we mention God's greatness, there we also find immediately his amesonus, is also the quality of his modesty. As for example, where it says, you know, that God is high and mighty and exalted, and then right next to it it says, but nevertheless, God humbles himself in order to see the most lowly of his creatures and take care of their needs. And so, and we find this not only in the Torah, also we find it in the prophets and also in the Ksuv, in the writings. So that from this we learn that Ambasanus is also one of the qualities of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So he prays that when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sees the evil that we have, the evil that we do, he should wrap himself around in these qualities of mercy and goodness and modesty, and may we be the recipients of his loving kindness. Rabbi Zeira, boss of the Messiah, would say, Omar Hochi. When Rabbi Zeira would finish, then he would say as follows, Yehi Ratzoi Milfanecho, Ad Hashem Elokeinu, may it be thy will, O Lord our God, Shelo Nechtor, that we should not sin, and we should not be ashamed, of course, not be ashamed because of the sins that we commit. We shouldn't, you know, by refraining from sin, we would not have nothing to be ashamed of, you see. Veloni kolei miavoseinu, and also that we should not be shamed in the presence of our ancestors. In other words, not only should we live a life which is exemplary for ourselves, but also that our parents and grandparents and so on would never be ashamed if they could see us, you know, the kind of life that we're living. Rab Chia Bosa de Metzlei, after he finished davening Shmenesse Omahoki, this is what he said. Yehi Ratzon Milfonecho, may it be thy will, Ad Hashem Elokeinu, Shetehe Torascha Umanaseinu. First of all, may it be thy will that your Torah shall become our Umanus, in other words, that we should devote our lives to it. Umanus, as I explained the other week, an Uman is someone who is a craftsman, okay? So that the Umanus is something to which you devote your life in order to gain your living, okay? But may it be God's will that the Torah may be the means whereby we nourish ourselves. The Yad Yid Veli Beinu, and let our hearts not feel any pain. The Yad Yechshechu Einenu, and let our eyes never become dark or dim. Because, not become dark, because of the evil that we have done, the mistakes we've made. In other words, may we always have the brightness of God's presence before us. Rav, and here we come to a very famous prayer, Bosad Sulsei, after his Shmenesse Omahochi. This is what he would say. He would say, Yehi Ratzoi Milfonecho Ad Hashem Elokeinu, may it be thy will, O Lord our God, Shetiten Lonu Chayim Arukim,
Ten
Right, Chayim Shal Shalom, Chayim Shal Toivo, Chayim Shal Barocho, Chayim Shal Panoso, Chayim Shal Chilus Atzomas, which means good health, right? Chayim Sheyesh Behem Yiratz Chayt, life in which we have the fear of sin, in other words, but should not give in, you know, should not yield to sin. Chayim Shein Bahem Bushach Nima, life in which we will not know shame or, I hate that English word, ignominy.
What's the word? I know.
In the prayer book that we use, that's shocked. For Klima, which means, you know, also it's a synonym for shame, right? They use the word ignominy. So I think this is what ignominy is. It sounds good, but this is why I dislike certain translations.
I mean, like ignominious.
Exactly. Chayim Shaloisha v'chavod, right, a life of wealth and honor. Chayim Shatevano as Torah v'yirah shemayim, a life in which we will have the love of Torah and the fear of heaven. Chayim Shatemale lonu, a life in which you will fulfill for us, as called Mishalos Lebeinu Litova, all the right, the desires of our heart for good. Okay, worried about this. Obviously, we know what place this now has, right? When we bench for Shkaitish, correct. So, what has been added?
He said it in every day.
He said it every day. In other words, when they decided to use this prayer for benching Rishkodesh, so what they added was, you know, Shetachadesh, and then they took the rest of it. Right, so that was what was added.
But he said this three times a day.
Yes, right. And of course, it's a beautiful prayer that we should have a life with all kinds of good things, all kinds of blessings. Sure. Right. Now, what's interesting, of course, the last part, you know, it says that you should fulfill for us. In our Siddurim, we change it, Chaim Sheyimolu Mishalos, that
we should.
Right, that the desires of our heart should be fulfilled. I guess we're not challenging the Rebbeinu Shalom, we're praying to him, so that may be part of the reason why.
Why they changed it.
Then, in some of the prayer books, you'll find a very interesting line over there, Bischus Tefilas Rabbim, in the merit of the prayer of the multitude. But that was a mistake. Whoever put it in meant it bischus tefilas Rav. In other words, in the merit of Rav's prayer, you know, may these things be granted to us. You see. Well, but if you take a look at many Siddurim, not the Ashkenazic Siddurim, but Sfarish Siddurim, you'll find that. All right,
beautiful.
Let's continue.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Rabbi, that of course means Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. This is what he would say. Shetatzilenu, that you should save us, may Azay Fonim, from people who are Azus Ponim, in other words, impudent people, you know. May Azus Ponim, and this is also from the actual act itself, you know, that we should not ever be challenged by Azus Ponim. Rashi explains that Azus Ponim, he says, may Azay Ponim Shelo Yizkoru bi, that they shouldn't have arguments with me, they shouldn't provoke me. May Azus Ponim, he says, he says that these guys shouldn't accuse me of being
a mamzer.
A mamzer, right. That's how Rashi understood it. Okay. So, may Odom Ra save me also from an evil man, and may Pega Ra from some evil accident that may happen. May Yetzer Ra from the evil impulse. May Chove Ra from an evil companion, Mishochein Ra, from an evil neighbor, from Misotan Hamashchis, and also from Satan, who seeks to destroy us, from Medin Kosher, and also from a judgment which seeks, you know, to put us, let's say, in the bad, from Mibal Din Kosher, and also from someone who is very harsh in his arguments with us. Bain Shehu Ben Bris, regardless of whether he is a Jew, or Bain Sheino Ben Bris, or a non-Jew. Where do we say this? The answer is we say it in the morning prayers. Right, right. You know, after and then you have he was on the nevesh, shtatzi leini hayom kol yom, etc., etc. This is what you have. Okay.
This is after. It's at the beginning, very beginning.
Show you in the siddur.
Yeah, yeah. The siddur, right? Yeah. Right.
First they have the brachas. Okay. Right.
You don't say it here. In the morning.
I'll be honest with you,
they don't say it.
They say whatever some of the Gaboyim dating back to, I guess, the Katzes or whoever it was, the Sappers back in the old days, they decided to say, not to say, or something. I don't know whoever formulated what they do at the beginning of the service.
I don't know either.
Because in the regular, there's no question, you should say this prayer. Yeah. You should say this prayer. And you should say, not jump immediately to Leficha Chanachnu, because what is Leficha Chanachnu? Yeah, Le'olam Hayadam, and so on, Lord Shkuseinu, and so on, right. And also, Abol Anachnu, Amcha, B'nei Masech. So this Leficha Chanachnu makes sense as a sequel. But this whole business of jumping, I don't know, the jump is only... Huh?
We started that here when...
But they don't say it here.
You mean Mike Miller?
No,
oh, you mean Ira Bernstein?
Ira Bernstein.
Yeah.
Had
yeah.
And we started to say it here. Now
They don't say it.
Tell you very simple. What happened was that Abe Levine was the gabbai. Okay. I mean, God help him. I mean, he should have a refuah shleima right now. But. You know, he was not a man of very great education or anything like that, even though he liked to be the gabbai. So,
the gabbai decides what prayers you should say?
I don't know what a gabbai is supposed to do, but if you try to do something, like I suggested a long time ago that we say Rabbi Yishmael, as a matter of fact, I said not just Rabbi Yishmael, say Ezehu.
Ezehu,
and then Rabbi Yishmael.
Takes another...
No, that's why we say a Kaddish to Rabbanan when the rabbi learns before, but the rabbi isn't always there, first of all, to do it. And secondly, it's in the Siddurim, in other shuls they say, and it's not right that we shouldn't be saying it.
Just a Zehu all the way through, just that paragraph, just a Zehu all the way through to the past, all the paragraphs,
because Zehu is a Perek of Mishnayis, so in other words, we will have had the schools of learning a Perek Mishnayis. And then Rabbi Yishmael, we say a Kaddish Rabbanan.
Because Rabbi Yishmael, without that, doesn't make any sense, really, does it?
Yeah. Well, I don't say... No, it's independent. Rabbi Yishmael.
Well, it's a rule.
Rabbi Yishmael, right. It deals with how do we derive various rabbinic teachings, right. You know, from the text of the Torah. And, you know, it mentions 13 different ways in which we can arrive at
principles.
Right. Basic principles, right. So, it's really independent from Ezebel. But, nevertheless, there's no reason why we shouldn't do, you know, what, even in those Siddurim, where they left out the Keturahs and things like that and so on, you'll find that, for example, in the Siddurim that were printed in England and in Germany, they left out that part. But nevertheless, they never left out Ezehu and Rabbi Yishmael. They always included it.
You mean some of them left out the Kabbalahs?
Yeah.
There are shuls that say kabbalas every morning.
Of course, absolutely.
I mean, the one I went to in Florida, they said it.
Yeah, this one in New York, they say it too. Now, you could say these things privately.
Yeah.
Does not have to be said with the congregation. But one of the reasons why it's said with the congregation is so they can say a Kaddish Rabbanan afterwards. But you know, as far as that's concerned, look, in Eretz Yisrael, I've been to Minyonim over there, where they don't really start the minyan itself, that is, you know, the daven and the tzibur, until they get to Yishtaba. Everything else before that, and that includes on Shabbos too, you know, all the psalms that we say and so on, the people are just saying it. So this one could be on this one, next guy is on something else, third one, so on. But they're not rushing with the daven. They're not rushing. That's the difference.
They take their time.
They want to say word by word and everything else. They daven with kabbalah.
This is a different type of davening,
you see.
That's the way it should be.
Right. It's not a mechanical thing, you see. The people are putting their heart into the davening. And then, as I said, when you get to Yishtaba or Sheikhinat on Shabbat, then they begin, right, as Sayyid Siva. But they wait until this one catches up and this one. They wait to see if the Rav is there and this Balabas is here and so on and so forth. You see, so they're not rushing with the
Dabbin. This is at the Kotel?
Not necessarily. I've observed it in yeshivas.
Oh.
In yeshivas, that's the way they daven. But other shuls, you know, they daven the way we daven over here. All right. Anyway, to continue. Now, yes, it says V'yafal gav dekai mekutzutzi alei derebi, and this in spite of the fact that the Roman government itself, as Rashi explains, appointed guards, policemen to take care to see that that Rebbe would not be anointed. You see, he was a friend of the Roman emperor. There are always stories told about Rebbe and Antoninus, you see, the two of them. Antoninus was the emperor, and Rebbe, of course, was Rebbe Hanasi, okay, that they were very friendly, and so the Roman government decided to give him an escort of honor or something like that so that people wouldn't bother him. Nevertheless, you can see that Rebbe himself felt that he was not going to rely upon the Roman soldiers who were assigned to guard him, but he prayed to the Beinu Shalilim that he should be spared
from any bad or evil.
Okay, now I'll tell you Shana Maisa. You have the sitter there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Then.
Then we'll continue. Hi, Stanley, it's a rough life. If you look right after the brachas, there is, first of all, the nusach over here, you know, here at Simon Panech, all these very, very beautiful prayers. Then it says also, you know, the Altashtid Bona Yetzahara, in other words, do not give the evil impulse rule over us, and so on. Remove us, you know, from an evil person, from an evil companion, and so on. So, and then of course we have this prayer of Rebbe that we just read as follows. So, a famous Rav, I forget whether it was Chassam Sefer or whether it was Reb Yonas and Prager or whoever it was. At any rate, a guy was always annoying him. So finally he said to him, one time, tell me, why do they have this prayer recited twice? So he says, because, also the Nuskan, the Sumshat Hatzilena Hayomu Becholyom, you know, today and every day. Why do you have to say today and every day? So he says, because I didn't have a chance to say it today.
Because you annoyed me so much.
Okay.
It's bottom of the page. Apocryphal story, but it's a good one.
That's what you tell all our talkers at the Minyan, that story, too.
Rav Safra, Vosetz Lusay, after his Shmoneh Esra, Omar Hachim, this is what he said. Yehira Tzoyim Ufanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, may it be thy will, O Lord our God, Shetosim Shalom, Bepamayo Shalmalo, Pamayo Shalmato, that you should give peace, or grant peace, in the Pamayo Shalmalo. The Pamayo Shalmalo, literally, the heavenly family. In other words, it means, you know, the heavenly host, that there should be peace among the heavenly host. But also Pamayo Shalmato, upon us down below over here. We are the
used,
human family.
That's used on Yom Kippur.
What? Pamayo Shalmato?
No, Shalmato, Shalmato.
Yeah, well, Mala means up, you know, above, and the Mato is down below, right? You're thinking, of course, of the sprinkling. Which we had reference in the last week's Seder, you know, that he has to sprinkle the blood of, you know, of atonement, right? Does it on the corners of the Mizbeach, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, Yavzeh Sheva Peyomim, he has to sprinkle 7 times. Well, he has to keep count, you see, wherever he's doing it. So, therefore, it's 7 times up, 7 times down, so on, depending on what
a bloody mess.
Yeah. But that's why we say achas, achas v'yachas, achas v'shtayim, etc. Yeah. So may there be peace up in heaven above and among all our human beings down below. Uveina talmidim ho'oskim b'sorosech, and also among your students who learn your Torah. Bein oskin lishmo, bein oskin shelo lishmo. Whether they are learning Torah for its own sake, or whether they are learning Torah not for its own sake.
Why does it say that?
Why does it say not for their own sake? In other words, there are people who will study Torah not from the purest of motives for the sake of learning Torah, but rather that they want to, let's say, get a certain title, they want to get a job, you know, or something like that.
In favor of someone.
Right. Or may simply be out of curiosity, whatever it may be, okay? But the Chol Ha'oskin Shelo Lishmo, and if they're doing it, you know, not for its own sake, Yehi Ratzon Sheyehu Oskin Nishmo, then may it be your will that they will do it for the sake. In other words, as long as they are beginning, as long as they are studying Torah, even if their motives to begin with are not the right thing, but nevertheless, hopefully by studying, their motives will develop, and they will do it for the way Torah should be studied, for its own sake. Rabbi Alexandrai, Bosetz Lusay, what did he say? So Mahofi, this is what he said. Yehi Ratzon Mufanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Shetamidenu Bekeren Ora, cause us to stand in the ray of light, Yal Tamidenu Bekeren Chashecha. Keren could mean either a ray, or Keren could also mean a corner. You want to translate this corner? In a corner where there is light, right? And do not cause us to stand in a corner where there is darkness. The Yal Yidver Libenu, and let not our heart know sorrow. The Yal Yefshechu Einenu, and let not our eyes become dim, become dark. Iko di Amre, there are those who say, or Rav Hanunu Maslilot, that it was Rav Hanunu who gave this prayer, Rav Alexandrai Bosad Masli Amahochi. And when Rav Alexandrai would say Shmoneh Esra, then afterwards he would say the following prayer. And what did he say? He said, Ribon Hu Elomim, says, O Master of the Universe, Golui v'yodua lefonecho, it is revealed and known unto you, sheritzoneinu la'asosu sonecho, that we really desire to do your will. Umi mi'akev, so what's holding us back? The answer is, se'or sheba isa. This is the yeast in the, you know, when you mix flour and water and everything together, the dough, right? The yeast and the dough. This is what's holding us back. Now, of course, what is the Osha Be'isa? First of all, it it's appropriate to Pesach. I mean, what does the Torah prohibit? The Torah has a very specific prohibition, not just about chometz or machmetzes, you know, but also seor. Seor lo yemotzi v'botechem. You're not allowed to have any type of seor, sourness, you know, which causes the fermentation. Okay? So that is prohibited. I'm not talking about fermented wine. I'm talking about, you know, what you have, you know, that causes the bread
to rise.
Okay?
Well, this actually is the seor. Lechem apanim were actually matzahs, were unleavened bread.
No, the lechem apanim was not. It was actually, they were real breads. However,
what was translated as unleavened bread.
Yeah, what was matzah actually was something else. Whenever they would bring a mincha, korban mincha, which was a meal offering, so that had to be matzah. That was always, okay? Mm. But there were two exceptions. One is the kivsei atzeres, in other words, the shtei halechem, they call it, the two breads that they use Shavuos night, the Shavuos itself, and then these breads also, you see, were baked matzah actually, because presumably they rose and so on. All right. We'll look it up again.
But I read the translation.
It said that. All right. Maybe I'm wrong.
The two loaves of bread that they would.
It wasn't two loaves. No. The two loaves were for Shavuos. That was no question. Yeah, but that was chometz because it's written chometz teofenes.
Okay. What?
But the loaves that they had from week to week.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. The 12. Right. 12 cows.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Those were unleavened.
Doesn't say matzah for that. Doesn't say that, no. As I said, with the mincha, it says specifically that, you know, that has to be matzah. Right, yeah. But we could look it up, make a little project to look it up again, see.
Yeah, okay. I'll see where I got the translation from.
Yeah. Now, here he is using the expression Seor Shebe'isa in the sense of the evil impulse that we have, the Yetzer Hara. And some refer it, you know, to the sexual urges that we have. But it could be in general, you see. In other words, we want to do that which is right, but unfortunately, we do have a social visa. We have a Yetzer Hara within us. This is what prevents us from always doing that which is right. So, his prayer is, okay, that... Mimiyakir Soshav Esau, that is one factor that prevents us from doing your will wholeheartedly, right? The Shibud Malchius, and also the fact that we are living in Golis, we are literally enslaved, but of course what it means is that we are at the mercy of other nations. We're not, you know, people in Israel, fortunately in Israel too. Part of the Tzoros is that the government also is still. It's the Shibud Malchius over there. They look to see what is Carter going to say, what is Bush going to say, what's Reagan going to say, how's the world going to react, what will they say about us in the New York Times and things like that. This is also Shibud Malchius.
Mr. Baker said that your son-in-law can't live where he does.
Yeah, right. Sure, it's nachon, absolutely. Not only my son-in-law, my son. Nobody can live.
Right.
We should give to the Arabs all those areas which are absolutely arid, a wilderness, nothing there, that Jews built with their sweat and blood and toil, and give it to them for what? So that it will be chopped up again? I don't understand Israel's politics, except that they have a bunch of mishagoyim, each one is crazy for power. And each one wants to wield the money that goes with the power. And
I think it's because they crave peace so strongly, they want to have.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's the driving factor.
I mean, that's the chus that we have to say concerning them, right?
That's the driving factor. I don't think they want to. I don't think any Israeli would want to give anything away, except for peace.
Yeah, except that, you know,
but they
people who
peace.
Live in Tel Aviv and in Herzliya and, you know, over there, they don't consider the fact that Yerushalayim is something that's also they're content to live in their gilded ghetto over there, which is what it is in some cases, and they look upon Yerushalayim as being some kind of religious aberration over there or something like that.
And why be in Israel altogether?
That's a good question. It's a good question.
If you don't,
because I'm not saying that everybody feels like that, but unfortunately there are people who feel that way. Very unfortunate. I mean, where do the Shalom Achshavniks, the peaceniks, normally come from? They bus them in by the carload from Tel Aviv, you see. That's where they're coming from. In Yerushalayim, you don't have that many. Yeah, you have in the Hebrew University, you have some guys over there. You have some who were working for the Palestine Post, pardon me, the Jerusalem Post. But,
listen, if you read their editorials, now that we're opening this up to general discussion here, if you read their editorials, you'll be happier lately ever since the ownership changed.
Right, they changed, so at least they got rid of some of the most extreme left wingers over there.
Ari Roth was out, and some of the others. The tenor of their editorials is much more in line with your thinking.
Yeah. Thank God.
Right. So anyway, this is Shibbet Malchus. We're too much at the beck and call of all the other nations. We submit ourselves too much to them. So this is why we have Torahs. We want to do the right thing of Ben Yishalaylam, but we have, first of all, an evil impulse within us, and at the same time also, we're living in Golos. We feel the oppression of other nations. So, therefore, Yehi Rotzon, may it be thy will. Yehi Rotzon Ufanecha, right? Shetatzilenu miyodon, that you may save us from their hands, referring to both, the Zohar Sheva Issa and also the Sheva Malchus. The Noshu, so that we may do tshuva, we may return, lasos hukei ritzonecha b'leva sholem, to do the statutes of thy will with a perfect heart. Rovo, after his Shmona Esrei Omahopi, this is what he would say: Elohai, oh my God, Ad Shelo Nutzarti, even before I was created, Eini Chedai, I was not worthwhile. In other words, I was nothing. V'Yachshov She Nutzarti, and now that I have been created, Ki Ilu Lo Nutzarti, it's as if I would not create. In other words, I'm still dust and insignificant. Hofer ani b'chayai, as he says, I am dust in my lifetime. Kal v'chum misosi, so much more so when I die. Hare ani l'fanecho, therefore I am before you. Kichli molei dusho u'chli mor, like a vessel which is filled with shame and disgrace. Feeling of unworthiness, okay? Busho u'chli mor. Yehira Tzom Nufonecho, may it be thy will, our Hashem Elokai, our Lord our God, our Lord my God. Notice that this is in the singular, this is not in the plural over here. Our Lord my God, Shelo Echto Od, that I should not sin anymore. V'ma Shechotosi Lufonecho, and the sins that I have committed before you, Morek Barachamecho Harabim, wipe out, cancel out in their great mercies. Avo, Lo Al Yedei Yisurim V'Kolo Yivamim, but don't cancel them out by causing me pain, suffering, and illness. V'hainu vidu d'Rav Hamnuno zuta b'yomer t'kipuri, and this was the small vidui, confession of sins on Yom Kippur. And of course, to this very day, this is what we say in the Shtilei Shmoneh Esrei, before Elokai Neshama, Elokai Netzor Shabim Meirah, right?
Yeah.
So we say this little
meditation.
Right, and when we say this particular prayer, so that to this very day, at all the Yom Kippur services, we say this very, very beautiful prayer. Ma Breda Rabino, Mar the son of Rabino, Ki Hava Messiah Slusei, when he would finish davening, he would, oh my God, this is what he would say. He would say, Elohai, oh my God, Nitzor Lishoni Meroa, God, my tongue from evil, the Sif Sosai Medaber Meroa, and my lips from speaking guile. Lim kalalai, and to those who curse me, nafshi sedom, let my soul be silent. In other words, let me not answer them back with curses. Benafshi keofor la kol tia, and may my soul be like the dust unto all. In other words, teach me, you know, not to answer back, but instead to suffer in silence. Pesach livi b'sovar secho, open my heart unto your Torah, with a mitzvah secho tidok nafshi, and may my soul pursue your commandments. V'satzileini mipegara, and save me from any evil accident, miyetzehara, from my evil impulse, from a yishara, and from an evil woman, from the kol roz hamisrakshes lobo, and from all evils that may come to this world, or that are threatening to come to this world. The kol achoshim olai ra'o, and all those who plan evil against me, mehe roho perasosom kalkel mashosom, quickly cause their desire and their thoughts, you know, to come to naught. Yiyudaratzonim reiti, yomni bidol panecha Hashem surid goali, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Of course, again, we see, I mean, that most of this is what we recite at the conclusion of Mishmar Esrei. All that he left out over there is about the Pegara, and the Yetzahara, and the Yishara, and the Nicole Rose from his Rapture Slobha Rebbe. Although, again, the Pegara and the Yetzahara, those two we find in the other prayer that we saw right after over here. If you take a look, you'll find.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you have the idea over there. But the women, thank God, they were spared. They don't find an Ishara in any of the prayers that we recite. Maybe he had sorrows in his marriage, I don't know. Maybe he meant that he shouldn't be tempted by the sight of women who would only seduce him to do evil, or something like that. So
why do they consider the sexual urge as being evil?
Does it have to be for the same commandment?
Yeah, it's a good answer. In other words, it's not evil when it is, you know, when it causes us, you know, enables us to procreate, to have children and so on, and not only us, but also, you know, all creatures, you know, that they need this
impulse.
Sexual impulse. Right. But unfortunately, we also know that a lot of people go astray because of their sexual impulses. So that's what he
meant. Right, yeah, okay.
Exactly. This is really what he meant.
All right.
Because, look, we know that in Judaism, a person is expected to get married, is expected, you know, men and women are expected to live together in marriage, to have children, to raise families, to train their children in Torah, and to shep nachas and grandchildren, and things like that. This is part of life. We don't believe in the celibacy, which is practiced, you know, by the Catholic clergy, for example.
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. Theoretically, all right?
No.
I was thinking of Rav El Kazandra. It's interesting.
Alexandra.
Right. I mean, he's almost...
it's like Alexandra.
Alexandra.
He almost 1,700 years or whatever... predates Freud. I mean, when he comes along and he's saying what's really, in a sense, you could look at it, what's preventing us from thinking logically and clearly and wanting to do
it. He wasn't talking about the Oedipal complex or the Oedipus complex. But nevertheless, I mean, the fact that Freud himself, laid some stress, about the sexual impulse within human beings, that this is the source of our sorrows. Well, it's true. It's the source of our joy and the source of our sorrows.
That's why we have a choice.
There's a Gemara.
If
I remember correctly, it's in Sukkot, which speaks about the fact that the rabbis prayed that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should once and for all end sin in the world by giving them the power to capture the evil impulse. So they captured the evil impulse, and then they discovered that not a single egg was laid. means also that human beings would not be able to have children either, and so on, right? So we need it. We need it. We're human beings.
That's right.
The Rebbeinu Shalalem knows that we're human beings, and that's why we have to pray to him that
we should have
chesed, rachamim, right, loving kindness and mercy upon us, and enable us to do that, which is the right thing, as we see in all these very
beautiful
prayers we have.
Good. Yeah.
Rav Sheshes, ki hava yosef b'tadnisa, when he would sit and he fast, also the matzvah. So this is what he would say after the Shmoneh Esrei, after fasting. And of course, it doesn't say over here necessarily that it could apply to a public fast, but more likely they are applying it to a private fast that you know he would fast. But anyway, what prayer would he say after the Shmoneh Esrei was finished? He would say as follows: Ribon Hoilomim, O Sovereign of the Universe, Godui Lefanecha. It is revealed unto you. In other words, you know, is man shebeis hamikdash kayam, that as long as the beis hamikdash was in existence, odom chote yomakrit korban, that a person would sin, and then he would bring a korban, you know, to atone for the sin. The ein makrivin mimenu, and what part of the korban actually went on the altar? El chelbo v'damo, right? The chelev.
And the blood.
Okay. Umiskarbelo, and atonement was effected for him. The Yachshov, and now he says, Yoshavti Besanis, I have sat in fasting, Vinismayit Chelbi Vidomi, and I have lost Chelav and Dom as a result of my fast. So Yehirat Zoyn Mufanecho, may it be thy will, Sheyehei Chelbi Vidomi, Shenismayit, that the chela, the fat, and the blood, which, you know, I have lost as a result of the fasting, may it be considered by you, kihilo hikravtiv leponecha gabe hamizbeach, may it be considered by you as if I had offered it before you on the mizbeach, the siyutzeni, and may you be gracious unto me. Rabbi Yochanan, kihava misayim sifra deiyo, Rabbi Yochanan, when he completed studying the book of Job, Omar Hoki, he said the following: Sof Odom Lomus, every man is destined to die, the Sof Behemol Ishkito, and every animal is destined, you know, to face the Sheikhet. The Hakol Misahim Omdim, and all human beings, all creatures, eventually are going to die. Ashrei Misha Godal Batorah, so happy is the one who grew up in Torah, Va'amolo Batorah, and he continues laboring in the Torah, the Yosenachas Ruach Liotzro, and he does that which brings joy to his Creator, the Godel Bishemto, and he grows with a good name, the Niftar Bishemto Min Huelam, and he leaves this world with a good name, the Olav Amar Shlomo, concerning him, the Shlomo HaMelech say, Tov Shem Mishem Tov, that a good name is better than good oil, the Yom HaMoves Miyom Hibodo. The day of death is better than the day he was born, because we know what kind of a life, in other words, he lived, and he left this world, you know, with a shame toe. Alright, now here we have a group of statements that the Rabbonim were fond of saying. Good evening, come and join us. After 6:10?
Yes.
Okay, alright, we'll finish in a couple of minutes.
We're
on Daf Yud Zayin in Brachas. We're towards the end of the second parak. I thought maybe we'd finish it, but we spent time in going over it thoroughly, so that
wonderful.
So we'll take us to the next session to finish.
Excuse me.
Yeah. All right. We'll do a few more minutes. Margalo b'fudayu d'rabbanan d'yav. Whoops. I skipped a couple of lines.
No.
Right. Okay. Margalo b'fudayu Rabbi Meir. Okay.
Rabbi Meir,
now
right.
First the Rabbi Meir, okay? This was a favorite statement of Rabbi Meir. Literally, it was customary in the mouth of Rabbi Meir. That's the literal translation, okay? So Rabbi Meir was accustomed to saying, Gemor b'cholach o'vachor b'chol mafshefor. Now, Gemor could either mean learn, or it could also mean, in my opinion, I think a better translation would be, make a decision. The Cholabavcha, with all your heart and with all your soul, Vodah says Darki, or Drachai, to know my way or ways, whichever way could be read, the lishkod adasei Torah, and also to always be present at the doors of Torah. In other words, may I always spend my life learning Torah. Nitzor Torah sibalikho, guard my Torah in your heart, the negade necho to ye yirasi, and may your eyes, literally in the presence of your eyes, may my yira shamayim always be there. Shemob picho mikol chei, guard your mouth from all sins. V'tahir v'kadesh asbechor mikol ashmo v'yado, and purify and sanctify yourself from every action which would bring shame and sin. V'ani yeyeh mikol b'chol makom, and I will be with you everywhere. I will take one more. Magalob b'fumayi d'rabonan d'yavne, a customary saying of the rabbis of Yavne was, ani b'riya, I am a creature of God, v'chaveri b'riya, and my fellow human being is also a creature of God. Ani melachti bo'ir, my work is in the city, v'hu melachto basodeh, and he works in the field. Ani mashkim melachti, I wake up early to go to my work, v'hu mashkim melachto, and he gets up early to do his work. Kishem shehu eino misgader b'mlachti, kach ani eino misgader b'mlachto. So, just as he does not consider himself as being above, you know, the work that I'm doing, so do I not consider myself as being above the work that he's doing. In other words, we are both doing necessary work. I with my devotion to Torah, and he with his devotion to his labor. He is also doing the work of the Rebbe Yishalim by tending to the deeds of human beings. V'shemo tomar ani ma'be v'hu ma'mit, and lest you say that I do more and he does very little, shoninu, we have learned in the Mishnah, which says, echod ha'marbe v'yechod ha'mamit. It makes no difference whether one does a lot or a little. The important thing is that whatever he does or whatever you do, that your heart should be directed towards heaven. Okay, we'll stop at this point. Next Wednesday is of course Yom Tov, but two Wednesdays, so that is the week following, so already is always Yom Tov. So we will learn again. I'm not 100% sure. I guess, yeah, we have the calendar. Yeah, you have the calendar over there. Let's see when Mincha is scheduled for that week. I think it is scheduled for 7:30. So, Baze, I have to ask you now, when would you want to have the session? Yeah, right, Mincha is for 7:30. Oh, I see the rabbi put down 8 p.m. for the class.
8 p.m.? All right.
8 p.m. So,
fine.
We dominate at 7:30. All right, we'll spend an hour or so, an hour, 15 minutes, whatever it is, the learning gap.
Sure.
Okay. Very good. Ayashikayach, and I want to wish each and every one of you a kosh and felach in Yom Tov.
Come on, Dan.
Toda Rabbah.
Toda Sameach.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now I know where we left off. We started in on a series on Yud Zayin, the first side over there. First of you remember on the previous page and on the first part of this page,
we
were dealing with private prayers which were recited by our great rabbis after they finished Menesra. And we saw some very, very beautiful prayers. And some of them have actually been incorporated into the davening, as we saw, for example, the prayer of Rav became the basis of the prayer that we say, you know, when we bench Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, of course, another prayer of the Nunu, you know, there's the Elokai Nitzol Shonim Meirah, which we say always at the completion of the Shemona Esra. Yeah.
Nikki?
What?
Oh, well, I mean, what is it? Okay, this would be Yud Zayin and 17,
Yud Zayin
right?
And 17, correct. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't go.
It goes by Hebrew numbers.
Oh, I'm sorry. 32.
Yeah.
ask a straightforward question, but it's too good answer. I'm sorry.
Mickey, after a while, you get the hang of it.
Okay.
Okay, you have to take the plunge. That's the way you get the hang of it. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not quite
yes.
No, I'm just, I was going to help them with exactly where we were going to start.
Okay. So we got as far as a series that started with Margalo Befumayo. In other words, things that they were accustomed to say that they enjoyed saying, and, you know, these were all, to me, it's a sort of a play on words, I have to tell you, in that the word Margalo, of course, means the word Ragil, which in Hebrew means, you know, it's usual or something like that, okay? So the Margalo Befume, or Befuma, means literally, you know, it was accustomed to say it, and it was something that normally came out of his mouth. In other words, he liked to repeat this again and again, okay? But to me, as I said, it reminds me also of the word Margalit, which means a pearl, and because these are truly pearls, these statements that we have, just as the prayers that we've said are pearls. Okay, I wanted to take a moment just to review a couple of tosas that we did not say last week, but this is in connection with Kamala prayers that we did before, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at the three little tosas that we have over there, okay? And we'll start with the first one, the Nafshik or Forla Kol Tiye. Well, I think we all recognize that one. That comes from Elokai Netzor, which, as we saw, was originally a private prayer, and it was so beautiful and so beloved by everyone. As I said, this happens to be Mabre de Ravina, who was the author of this particular statement. So we made it actually part of our own daily services every day, that when we finish saying, you know, the Shemona Esrei, so we add this. By the way, just want to recall again, if you remember, we learned technically the Shemona Esrei itself ends with, you know, the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavarech Lamei Yisrael V'Shalom. Okay, this is the end of the Shemona Esrei, and then we learned that the davening is not complete unless we say what pasuk. Good evening, Fred. Shalom Aleichem. I'm so happy to see you. Yeah. Come and enjoy your Gemara. Your parents' memory is put to good use.
Good. You have another Gemara left?
Oh, yeah. You mean you don't know it by heart?
Huh?
You mean you don't know it by heart?
Oh, me? Yeah, I might.
Okay, so, all right. As I said, Shemona Esrei itself really ends with that, and then we learned that you have to add what pasuk? Recall? No, that's not the pasuk. That's the private prayer that then became added to it. The answer is Yil Ratzon Imrei.
Yil Ratzon, yeah.
Right. We said that, you know, before the Shemona Esrei, we say Av Hashem Sosai Tiftach. Yeah. This is what we learned. And then concluding the Shemona Esrei, we say Yil Ratzon Imrei Fi, Hegen Fedeva, Hashem Sui Gerli. Okay. So what happened was, of course, that when Mar decided, you know, he composed this, so he said this where? He said this before Yudah Ratzon Imeti, which would be the conclusion of the Shemona Esrei itself. Of course, we added something else, and that is that, you know, we step back with the Sayyid Shalom Imreimo, which originally was part of the Kaddish, actually. But it was taken over from the Kaddish to our own private prayers as well. So this is the history of that. Now, I've had occasion to mention once or twice before, what happens if we have the speed demon stopping up over there, and you know, you don't have time to go through Elokai Netzor and so on and so forth. Technically, what you can do, right, if you reach some verse from Yisrael HaShalom, you can say you're a Tzonim Reiti, and then immediately join in the Kedusha and so on. Okay. So that, in that case, you don't have to then go and repeat Elokai Netzor if you don't want to, because